Welcome to this teleclass, which is called Keeping Client Records. And this is part of the Professional Organisers Edge program. We have members who get access to everything, and then we have people who drop in at now and again for individual classes. So no matter who you are, welcome. My name is Angela Anoff. I run Creating Order from Chaos and the Professional Organisers Edge. And I'm a little bit husky tonight, so please excuse my voice. I developed this class because it's a special request, and a bit more about that soon. But let me tell you that I will be mentioning three code words tonight. And the code words are to be collected by you. Write them down as I say them. And then I will tell you at the end of the class what to do with those. The three code words let me know that you've listened to this whole class. And then I will send you a certificate that you can use towards your APO accreditation or any other professional development that you happen to be doing. Well, let me know what you need your certificate for, but most people use it for their APO accreditation, which is wonderful. I am thrilled that so many of my members have been using it that way. So let's get started. About this topic, keeping client records, it is I guess it's a dry topic, so I'm going to try and make it really interesting for you. I hope that you learn something. I hope that it suits you, it helps you develop your business some more. If you have any questions, I'll stop occasionally throughout the class for questions, and again at the end. If you still have more questions, if you've listened to this class and 2 weeks later you come across something and you think, gosh, now what did she say, or what would Angela do, or is there some advice on this particular subject, please just send me an email or give me a message on Facebook or whatever suits you, because I'm happy to help. So about this topic, it is a special request one, and I guess it's something that a lot of people wonder about, where do you go to find out how to keep good client records, and why do you need to keep good client records? So we're going to be talking tonight about why you keep them, which records to keep, how to keep them, so in what format, etc., and then what on earth do you do with them? How do you use them in a way to develop, your business and help you stay in touch with clients and so on? So that brings me to the very first code word, which is pen. Pen, P-E-N. You can keep records with pen and paper. More on that later. But first, why? Why are we interested in keeping good client records? Well, they help you to provide excellent service. It is smart business practice, and I'll talk more about why later. They help you to know your numbers, and last month's teleclass was all about knowing your numbers. But keeping good client records is just the start of knowing your numbers. They do help you to achieve accreditation, which I've already spoken about, but APO accreditation is based on, your records of your dealings with clients and so on. So that's a big plus. They help with clever marketing and professional follow-up. So that's why we would keep good records. Let's talk about which records to keep. Well, I could sum it all up in one word, everything. from the very first phone call or email. So, you get the first contact from a client or a potential client, and it's usually a question, a bit of a call for help or whatever. There's clues in there, and this basically is the start of building a profile of your client and giving you the clues as to how you can best help them, whether you're the right person to help them, and so on. So I basically keep everything that I do with a client. And, of course, you know, that first contact is a biggie. Then, of course, the next thing might be an assessment. And, again, the stuff that you do right from the first phone call, whatever form your assessment takes, whether that is filling out a form that you've developed, or it is just your scribbled notes during the conversation, which is my personal style that I have come back to after years of trying different things, and so on. And even, I mean, some organisers might have an online assessment that they get people, you know, to fill out, like a quiz or something like that. That is all part of your record keeping. Definitely their goals you want to keep track of, because the assessment is really where are they now, and the goals are where are they headed. And, you know, that's the beginning of a roadmap for you and your client. Now, your job as an organiser, obviously, is to help them get from where they are to where they want to be. So, and where they want to be, as in their goals, changes over time and so on. So you want to track all of those things. So I do, in every session with a client, make notes, keep really good records about changes that are happening in their goals, changes that are happening in their home. You know, you might start out saying, right, we want to clear out the office and set up a tax system that really works. And over time it might change that, you know, now it's much more important that we fix up the guest room. So keep track of that, not only for sort of keeping track of the client's progress, but also on the very small chance that the client comes back to you after, say, 6 months of work and says, but you know, I told you right at the start I wanted to do the tax system and we've never got around to it. Well, if the reason for that is that the client kept changing the boundaries and the goals, you have the evidence in your possession, or all your notes and so on over time, where the client has changed the brief. So that's just, you know, one reason why you would want to keep them as evidence, basically. So I also keep notes about the family circumstances, as in who's in the family, who else do we need to be considering, who are the main people that you need to worry about, but also who are the ones that have the more problem with it. You know, sometimes in a family there'll be one person who doesn't care, who just doesn't, you know, just says, whatever, I like living like this, and another person who wants things to change. And it's important to note those conflicts that are going on, just to keep track of it so that you can be aware of it and so on. And also, you know, the number of children, what ages they are. Obviously, over time, if you've got a very long-term client, that's going to change over time. The child's needs are going to change. The family needs change as children grow, as, you know, maybe more people move into the home, an elderly parent or something like that. And now I track all my observations along the way. I'll give you an example. I've currently got two quite complex clients, and although they both, on the surface, it looks like they've got the same problem, they've got too much stuff in their small homes, of course they've come about, you know, that's come about in different ways, where, you know, some things are the same, some things are different. And you get little clues about what's causing the problem or what's causing a lack of action, meaning that things aren't getting out of the house like they should. Maybe there are observations you could make, like the rubbish doesn't seem to be moving out of the house. You know, it gets to the back door and then stops. Maybe you can observe that, you know, that one time you were there and the exit was clear, the next time you went back and it was blocked. These are the things that you want to make a note of, because it gives you clues about what's going on for that client. Why has it happened? What is it that's stopping them from moving forward, etc.? So all the observations along the journey. Now, they come in very handy as more evidence. Evidence to show the client their progress. Evidence to show the client, well, hang on, I've observed that every time you pick up an item and we, you know, you start to think about whether you need it or not, you put it down and pick something else up when you get to a difficult decision. And knowing those behaviours and observing them, just making very non-judgmental notes about what your observations are, can really help a client see themselves differently. You know, they may not know where this behaviour is coming from. But you might be able to hold the mirror up to them, and they will suddenly see their own actions quite differently. So one of these complex clients that I was telling you about, I mentioned to her, it seemed to me like she would make a decision on something and then within a few minutes reassess that decision, so that even though it was a perfectly adequate decision, she felt like she had to go back over it again. It wasn't perfect in her eyes, and she had this ongoing need for perfection. And even though she maybe found three ways to donate an item, this is an example, three very not good ways to donate an item, three worthy causes that could take that item, she was still searching for the perfect one, you know. So making an observation about that to her made her realise, oh, yeah, I'm really getting in my own way. And it really helped her to move forward. So observations. On a practical level, I always record the hours that I spend with the client. Obviously, you need to do that for your APO accreditation, but it is also useful when you're helping a client to budget their time, budget their money. When you want to know, from a business management point of view, how much time have you been spending on that client's needs, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether it's with them face-to-face or it's outside of that. For instance, you might be doing some shopping on their behalf or doing some research and so on. Definitely want to be tracking that and not, even if you're not charging the client, not spending too much of your own time doing those things. And at least if you have good records about it, again, you've got the right to go back to your client and say, okay, this is how much time this project of setting up whatever, a laundry system, this is how much it's cost you. This is how much benefit you've got out of it. Is it worth the benefit to you? Now, you definitely want to know that whatever you're doing for your client is, you know, there's a cost-benefit analysis so that they see your actions in a positive light. If the opposite is true, if they're spending a lot of money on your, doing a very low-benefit action for themselves, I think it's only right that the client's aware of that too. Anyway, they have the choice. As I said, I record everything. Now, correspondence. All correspondence back and forth I keep. Usually it's by email. Sometimes it's by text, which I don't prefer. And sometimes it's by Facebook message or, other creative ways that people like to keep in touch. But I keep it all. Part evidence, part record keeping for myself so that, you know, 5 years down the track, I have got a good picture in my mind about who was that person that I helped. And, you know, now that they're coming back, it's much easier to recall them again because, you know, 5 years is a long time. So progress, you know, we definitely want to track their progress and keep records about it. And sometimes that's photos, you know, the before and after photos that you can help a person see that they're making some progress. I am not an advocate of using before and after photos for marketing or in a public way. However, I do believe in using them as a way to help our clients in seeing their own progress, acknowledging the progress. Because a lot of my clients are not used to feeling successful. So when they do get success, they often don't acknowledge it for themselves. They don't take the time to give themselves a pat on the back. Or they'll say, oh, yeah, but, you know, they discount their own efforts. So if you've got that evidence, it really can help you build up their self-esteem, and which in turn helps them become more confident in their own skills and so on. And photos can be a good way to keep records of other things too. For instance, where you got to last time. Because if you are working with a client on an ongoing basis and you finish work one day and then a week later you go back to that same pile or the same room, you need to know where were you at. And I really find it can be useful to bookmark where you were at. And often a client who knows you've taken a photo of how it's supposed to look when you come back, that alone is enough for them to, you know, to be motivated to leave it looking like that and not to pile more things in. It's just a useful little tool for them. And I will talk about photos again later, but so far I've just been talking about photos that or records that we keep. It's important for our clients to keep records as well, so I encourage them to take their own before and after photos you know, we teach them things like keeping a task list and things like that so that you can always model what you want your client to learn as well. And I must say, every record I keep, and I'll talk about how I keep them in a little while, but I do make sure they're dated, make sure there's a date on everything. In the early days, I didn't think of that, and you sort of got to decipher a bit, but it really helps if you date absolutely everything. So I'm sure there are lots of other things that you could record, but my first word said it all, record everything. So that brings me to the second code word, which is photo. I take a before and after photo. And a little pause for people to ask questions if they would like. Is there anything that's come up so far? And I'll take a sip of water.
Hi, Angela, Nola here.
Mm.
Sometimes I find it hard to actually get the details from clients.
Ah, okay.
So do you pursue that or do you just leave it and then as things come to light, which isn't always at the most opportune moment to write it down, so therefore you rely on memory, you'd then record it, like come back and record those little snippets of details?
Mm. That's a good question because, now I'm assuming that is while you're working with somebody.
Well, even initially, like when they first ring up and
okay.
first assessment.
Yep.
I've had a couple of people be very, like they're obviously in a family or a you know, some sort of situation where there's more than just them.
Yeah, okay.
And when you ask them who else is in the household, they fob you off, I suppose, for want of a better word.
Okay. Well, yeah, in that situation, I just harvest as much information as I can. And then, you know, on that initial conversation, I guess it's about building a rapport and hoping that they do later on feel comfortable to share more. But, you know, grab what you can when you can.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I do go back and add in details, you know. So, you know, the first time they mention they've got kids, I don't go probing about how many and what are their ages and what are their names. I just let that go until I get an opportunity down the track.
Yeah.
So my style of assessment is very conversational, I guess, because there's a fine line between interrogation and conversation, and you want them to be telling you their story without without much interruption from you, because, you know, they've got a story to tell usually.
Yeah, well, sometimes with some people the story just comes pouring out and
yes.
slow down.
Yes, it does, yeah. You learn to take a lot of shorthand. Yeah. Okay. That's basically what I would advise. Just try just to gather as much as you can when you get it.
Yeah.
And then fill in the blanks later.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people don't see why you're asking. You know, why does it matter how many kids I've got, or, you know, whether I'm, you know, they don't realise until later, until they see how you're working with them, that it does actually matter and that you are actually considering them as a whole person, you know, with other obligations apart from just getting organised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How to keep these records is the next topic. And a one-word answer, securely. You want these records to be secure. I'm not talking about keeping them, you know, under lock and key all the time, but you do have to be really careful about who gets to see these records. So from things like having your notes open to neighbours, you know, passing by or loved ones happening in on your conversation, you want to be careful about who gets to see what you've written about your client. And you've got to remember that sometimes your client will see what you're writing. And you should always write your notes in a way that you would never be ashamed about that. You would never be worried that somebody gets to see what you've written about them. So you've got to be non-judgmental, use their own words, not an interpretation of their words, things like that. Any kind of assumptions you've made about their living circumstances or mental health or whatever need to be respectful, need to be their own words again. You know, you don't get to diagnose them and write it down in your notes, because that's not your role. Anyway, that's just an aside. You need to be pretty careful about your legal requirements as to privacy and so on. In other words, you're not going to be selling your database details about your clients onto anybody. You're not going to tell a colleague, I'm trying to think of an example. Let's say you've got a friend who's in business and they install windows, and you happen to know that a client of yours has some rotting windows. you are not going to go and say to your friend, hey, you should go over to that client's house because, you know, put a flyer in there under their door because they need new windows, because that's misusing their personal information. You could, obviously, you could say to the client, hey, look, I know somebody who can look at your windows for you, but, you know, that's a side issue again. Be careful how you use their private information. If you collect data on the internet, as in collect people's newsletter, sign up, you know, email addresses and so on, there are laws that you are governed by, and they are not just Australian laws. Because the internet is international, you've got to consider international law as well about that. Privacy laws can be really stringent. And if you are using one of the reputable email marketing companies, for instance, MailChimp or Constant Contact or any of those, they are aware of those and do comply. If you don't use one of those, if you use your own methods, be very careful about what your commitments are. Okay, so you're going to keep the records securely. You're going to be careful about who gets to see them, etc. And how will you keep them? Well, there's the good old-fashioned pen and paper. And let me say right from the outset that in reality, most people keep a mixture of electronic files and handwritten notes and so on. That's just the reality of it. So whatever happens, you will probably want to keep all your files in a similar, across all the platforms, in a similar folder structure. That would help you be able to figure out, you know, where are those photos that I took for that client? Where's the handwritten notes that I took for that client? It's a lot easier for you to find if they are all labelled in a similar way. Okay, so back to pen and paper. I use these a lot because I take a lot of notes when I'm with a client, and I have a pretty nifty little system because I have a handful of long-term clients rather than many, many new clients. That just happens to be the way my client base works because I work long-term with my clients. So it works for me to have different coloured notebooks per client. So for instance, let's say Frida is her name. She's got the lime green notebooks, and when I fill up one, I can, you know, find another one of the, what are they called, Marbig coloured lime green ones. And I know when I'm heading out to her appointment, I just grab the latest lime green one, and she's used to seeing that for her. You know, Mary, on the other hand, has the pink or the black or whatever. It really helps me to keep track of all those things. And, of course, when I finished working with Mary or Frida, I tear out those notes. I hole punch them and put them away into my file folders. Other people I've seen use, you know, hanging files, etc. That's fine. Whatever works for you with your pen and paper. The one thing about pen and paper is it is harder to search for something in the past. That's why I date everything that I write now. Even if it's, you know, for instance, today I had to leave a message for a client about some auctions that we're doing. And, you know, it was a two-minute conversation that I spoke to her voicemail, and I still made a note about it. I still put the date on and made a note of my actions. So there's an example for you. But as I said, it is harder to search for things. Sometimes, you know, you want to think about what records do you want to transfer from the handwritten notes to your electronic files, which of course are much more easily searched. you know, you can type in a keyword and find anything that you've done with your client if they're searchable like that. Now, one way to achieve that is to take a photo of your handwritten notes rather than transcribing everything. And in Evernote, it just blows my mind every time I think about it, Evernote searches images for text and recognises text in images. So, you know, that is a big step towards being much more searchable. So, back to the electronic. So, we've moved on from the pen and paper to the electronic. The simple Word documents, Excel documents, and Outlook email, you know, the basic stuff, whether you use Outlook or any other kind of email program, are all very searchable, all easy to use, and easy to file and name so that it's appropriate for that particular client. And that is a great place to start, and why not? And the beauty is it can be saved to, obviously, your computer. But if you wanted to share that with your client as well, you could create a Dropbox that you shared everything between you and your client, or just keep them on Dropbox or a similar file sharing or cloud-based storage option, whatever you choose, so that doesn't matter where you are. If you're on holidays and a client calls, you can still access their files because they're in the cloud rather than sitting on your computer at home. So have a think about how you're going to store all your electronic files and so on. It certainly does make life easier and more streamlined, you know. We are moving away from having everything stored on a home-based computer or office-based computer. So the cloud again, I've talked about Dropbox, which I think is wonderful. Evernote is equally wonderful. Capsule CRM is the customer relationship manager that I have used. So I'll talk about that particular one, but keep in mind there are lots of other cloud-based or program CRMs around, and I don't have personal experience from them, so I can't talk about them. I don't have a relationship with Capsule CRM anymore. I've sort of moved away from that back to my old system because I guess I'm just a low-tech kind of girl. That's how it goes for me. But I was very happy with them for the time that I was using them. So let me tell you about Capsule. It is cloud-based. It is, it's recommended by a lot of people, and mainly because it synchronizes with other cloud-based programs like Xero, FreshBooks, and they're both accounting software. MailChimp, which is the the email marketing program that people use a lot, and a whole lot of things. So if you go to their website, which is capsulecrm.com, CAPSULECRM. mfmary.com, you'll get lots of information. You can start there with a free account and then upgrade later when when you have more clients, when you have more information to store and so on. When you get to the professional account stage, it is $12 per month per user. And that's not bad. I mean, if you're at the stage where you've got that many clients, $12 a month is not a lot of money to be spending on a pretty powerful, software that can help you in a lot of ways. You can, as well as synchronizing with all those other programs, you've got apps for your Apple and Android. So they really seem to have thought of everything, and it is the one that most people nowadays recommend because of that integration and the things that it helps you with. Now, one thing I haven't talked about yet is using this these records as a pipeline. Now, what I mean by a pipeline is you've got people coming through your pipeline all the time. You've got inquiries coming in. You've got people signing up for your whatevers, your newsletters, and you're buying small products and so on. They are all in your pipeline, and you want to keep moving them along so that this CRM, this capsule, is really good at reminding you, hey, give that person a call back because they inquired 2 weeks ago and you haven't heard back from them. So you can set up reminders to do that. You can work with a client, maybe you've had a regular client for a while and then you finished work with them and thought, I'll chase them up in 6 months' time. You can set up a reminder to do that. You can also set reminders up in your own calendar, but this automates everything, which, of course, makes life a lot easier. So that is one pretty good reason why you'd have the CRM. The other is that, because it's on your phone, you can literally walk out from a client having billed them using one of your apps, that integrate with Capsule. You can sit down in your car, write some notes about what you did, what actions you took, what achievements you made, what the goals for next time are, straight into your phone or your iPad or whatever device you're using, right there on the spot. So it does alleviate some of the laborious note writing or report writing that you can do at home, which, by the way, I don't do. So I do all my note-taking either with the client or not at all. But there you go. That's a few options for you: pen and paper, electronic or cloud-based stuff, which includes the CRM programs that are out there. So, any questions?
My question is actually, what's your low-tech method? Because I think maybe I tend towards the low-tech method for the...
Yep. Well, my low-tech method is just the handwriting the notes and dating each page, making a new page for each session or conversation or whatever, and keeping things streamlined that way. And then, if you get used to writing your notes in a way that you know your own shorthand, basically, you don't have to write a lot about different sessions. Once you get to know a client, there's not a lot going on there. But, I really love my coloured notebooks per client.
Yep.
That really works well for me. Obviously, if a client finishes before their notebook is full, I'd tear out the pages and, they get packed away like that. But while the client is ongoing, it's really handy to have that. Another one that I haven't used for organisers, but I have used for a builder friend of mine who had, maybe three or four houses getting built at the same time, he just had one of those little accordion files with a handle. He had a different one of those for each client or each house. And in there he could file all the permits, all the file, the contact details and everything, all the product supplies and all that into each of those. So one per house with different coloured tags on them. Funnily enough, though, he's colourblind. But, he was still able to keep track because it's only a few,
Yep.
That really is the easiest way. Now, you know, coupled with email folders and, you know, computer files on that I save to Dropbox so that I've got access to them everywhere, really is it. That's it for me, which is why I stopped using the fancy Capsule CRM. And in fact, I wasn't using that. My daughter does my bookkeeping and she was managing that for me as well. So she was the one, you know, inputting that data. And it was, you know, it worked okay. It just didn't work for me.
And then the one other thing is do you keep like a summary page in the front so that, you know, but obviously if you've got long-term clients, their phone numbers, their names of the immediate family members or who's in the household, where you're sending bills to, all that sort of stuff?
I keep all that kind of info in my contacts. So I have an iPhone and a Outlook program, which sync between the two. And so no matter whether I enter the info into the iPhone or the Outlook, they sync across. And so all of that contact detail and a few basic things, it's all in there.
Yep.
And, you know, that works well. One thing I do, as soon as somebody rings me, a new person, I enter them into the iPhone. So I save their number, even if I only know their first name and, you know, and the problem that they have. That's what I put in there. So that a year later, if they call me, I go, oh, yeah, I do remember you. They're pretty impressed when you remember them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I do.
Thank you.
All right. So now that we have talked about why we keep them, which records to keep and how to keep them, let's talk about what to do with them. So, first of all, you want to provide excellent service. So keeping good, consistent records shows to your client that you are consistent and serious about their you know, issues and their providing service to them. You get to keep track when your clients can't. So my clients in particular often, you know, they forget. They're just not organised. So they forget where they're up to in a process or even a decision that was made. And if I've kept a record of it, I can say, hang on, we don't need to make that decision again because remember last time you said this and this and this, and I'll show them, you know, the notes that I've taken or just remind them, and that is a really big help. But it also, I mean, much longer term, it really helps you help them keep track of what's going on in their lives. You can be the client's memory. Here's one thing that it's important to keep track of because our clients are often overwhelmed and they can't do it for themselves. If you move something in a client's house, you've got to write it down. Where did you move it to? And for some clients, I will actually start an Excel spreadsheet saying, you know, tea towels are now in the second drawer or, you know, wherever they are. Because, it's overwhelming. That's the one thing I've heard clients say to me is, a friend tried to help me get organised, but they just moved everything around. Now I can't find it. So if you keep track of where you've moved stuff to, it really does help. And, you know, you could even keep track of the things that you discard as well. That's something that Wendy Haynes and I talk about in our Working with Hoarders course, is having a discard agreement with your client. Basically an agreement that they are willing to let go of X, this particular item, so that you don't then have to go back and say, back over that same discussion about, in magazines or broken cups or whatever it is that they've already agreed that you are allowed to discard. And you want to role model good organisation. You know, the client will learn by what they see you doing. So if you're taking meticulous notes and referring to your notes, keeping your client informed because you've got, you know, really good records, they will start to do the same or at least be impressed by what you do. So what else? Why else? What to do with them? Smart business. You want to be able to keep track of and manage your pipeline. So it is smart in business to know where are the clients coming from. And this comes under the banner of knowing your numbers too, which is the subject we talked about last month. Know your numbers. How do you know your numbers? Well, you're keeping records. So, you know, for instance, if you have records that show that 95% of your clients have a problem with the laundry, for instance, there's a big clue for you that, you know, there's a niche that nobody else is doing yet. You know, you've got to manage the pipeline, but also know about your clients. And that helps with clever marketing as well. If you know that so many of your clients have a trouble with the laundry, why not use that to your advantage? Write a book about, you know, getting the laundry done kind of thing. Why not write some articles about that and use that to connect with other potential clients? Because chances are if you're attracting a client that has that kind of problem, there's lots more out there that need that kind of specific help as well. Also, with knowing your numbers and smart business, if you have stats on your clients you know, they're all single women, or, you know, most of them are single women, or they're mostly come from a particular area, suburb, or they mostly have a high school education or a university education. That's all stuff, you know, good information to know. You've got to keep good records and so on. With the clever marketing, again, knowing what your clients need and talking to them in the language that they understand really makes a big difference. Achieving your accreditation. Now, this is something I think a lot of people don't realise how good record keeping is so important for that accreditation until they sit down and try to apply for accreditation, because when you get to 300 hours of face-to-face work with clients, that's when you can go for your accomplished accreditation. However, if you try to sit down and look back over all your clients and try and figure out how many hours did you spend with each client and try and, you know, nut it all out, it's a bit too late then. So really, you know, make good records, keep records about all your hours, all your unpaid hours, all the research that you do. There is a really handy checklist and Excel spreadsheet that APO provides. It is called Evidence of Professional Development and Work Hours, and you can get it by going to the members area on the APO website and clicking through to resources and then APO accreditation. So there's a checklist that tells you exactly what you need, but there's also this spreadsheet that they give you to help you fill it all in. Then you can, you know, start to keep those records and achieve your accreditation way earlier. And I've heard quite a few stories that people have started to collate all their numbers, and by the time they've actually finished collating all the numbers, they realise they're actually qualified to go for expert and not just accomplished. So it took them that long and they were unaware that they were so close. So it's important to know. Okay. Professional follow-up. Now, like I said before about clients remembering, you know, you want to be able to remember your client in 5 years' time. That is really very useful. It's great marketing. But it helps to, when you follow up with a client, to show that you've remembered their project, show that you remember what was going on in their lives. If you make records about, you know, okay, they got their kitchen renovated in 2009 and, you know, you helped them all, set it all up, 2 years later you can call them back and say, hey, does your kitchen need a spruce up? Those kind of follow-ups are really welcome sometimes and show that you are on the ball. So that brings me to the third and final code word, which is cloud. Up in the cloud, there is lots of information. Cloud. And also to one more time for question and answer. Has anybody got a question?
Getting back to the pipeline.
Yes.
Or stats, either or both. Do you keep then a general file to so that you can look in one spot rather than, say, look on the second page of everyone's file?
Yeah. So I keep a running tally, a spreadsheet that tells me where did the people find me from. That's probably one of the most important things. You know, what source did they come from? Was it a personal referral, or did they Google me? And if they Googled, what terms did they write in? You know, where did they come from? Also, what is their main reason for calling? Those kinds of things. You want to know what is going on. Is there a trend happening, etc.?
Yeah. And then you were also saying about keeping, when people contact you, putting their number in or whatever information you've got in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But what about people from presentations and workshops? Do you do that as well, or because they are more one-off and not necessarily targeted, you don't do that?
I don't put them into my phone, but if they've filled out a feedback form and given me their email address and so on, I put them into my email marketing program thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and make whatever note, you know, that I can about them.
Yep.
Because sometimes you might have a one-on-one conversation with somebody at one of those workshops afterwards.
Yep.
That you can add information, you know. So whatever they've written on the form plus whatever you know about them already, that can go into there.
Yep.
And then I keep those forms. You know, if they filled out a form, that's what I keep then. That becomes part of the records as well.
Okay, yep.
That, I was going to mention it soon, but that brings me to mention the next two teleclasses that we're doing. The next class is called Beyond One-to-One Consulting, and it is on at a different time, not a Tuesday night, but Monday night, November the 23rd in the evening. And then the one after that is called Speaking to Grow Your Organising Business, and that is on Tuesday the 15th of December. So both of them are not the usual fourth Tuesday of the month, but different dates because, you know, we're coming to a crazy time of the year.
Yep.
But both of them, I'm mentioning them now because there's info in there about collecting, you know, basically using speaking as a good tool for growing your business, how to do that, etc. So we touch on it in the Beyond One-to-One Consulting and then spend a lot more time, obviously, in the Speaking to Grow Your Organising Business.
Yep.
So Any more questions before I wrap up?
Oh, how do you keep a record of your text messages?
Oh, that's a good one. Sometimes if I feel, well, in my phone, as I said, I've got an iPhone. In my phone, I can search. So even though I might have had a text message, I don't know, 6 months ago from somebody, you can search for that person and it'll bring it up, any correspondence that you've kept. As long as you don't delete it, it'll still be there. However, if there's something that you particularly want to, you know, like it's something significant and you want to keep that, you know ahead of time you want to keep it, I just take a photo, a screenshot of it on my phone and then email that back to my office and file it away.
Right.
Because it'll usually say the date and everything. Well, it definitely will have the date on the email that you send back. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you sometimes have to get a little creative about how you're going to save things. But, yeah. I mean, I don't do that with every message someone sends me, only if it's something like, yes, buy that $3,000 thing, you know, and you want to make sure you've got their permission recorded.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I would encourage you, the people who are live here and also listening afterwards on the recording, again, if you have a question for me, please email, let me know. Or join me on the Professional Organisers Edge Facebook group or the APO Members Facebook group. Happy to answer questions there as well. And finally, I have to let you know what to do with your code words so that you can get a record for your accreditation application. And that is to send them to me. The three code words, send them to angela@creatingorder.com.au. Just put keeping client records in the subject line or somewhere that I can see what they are, and I will send you the certificate.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on the call, and I'm so glad my voice held out. But it's time for me to say goodbye now. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela. Bye.